Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. This is the reading of God's word. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold, the lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. 6 branches shall go out from its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from its other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms, in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms, in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. For 6 branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps 7 in number, and they shall mount its lamps, so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Its snuffers and their tray shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. See that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us see through your word what he has accomplished for us forever. And Father, cause our faith to grow as we hear your word. And we pray that by your grace, we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have seen that there are 3 furniture in the holies, meaning the first room of the tabernacle. The last Lord's Day, we have looked at the golden table for the bread of the presence or showbread on the right side of the room. Today, we will look at the golden lampstand on the left side of the room. They are to make it with pure gold. Verse 31 says, then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. A lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work, its cups, its bulbs, or buds, or knobs. Depends on what translation. And its flowers shall be of one piece with it. When we read this verse, we get the impression that this lampstand looks somewhat like a flowering tree with its shaft or stem and its branches and its flowers. But again, we cannot know exactly how this lampstand looks like. And it's just futile to draw and say, that's exactly how it looks like. There's just no way for us to do that. There is a shaft in the middle, shaft, stem, and from it, 6 branches go out. 3 branches from, let's say, there's a middle shaft, and 3 branches go out from each side, and the middle one will be 7. So there will be 7 lamps on the top of it. And you probably saw something like that when you, if you have a Jew friend or something. So here, There is a shaft in the middle, and six branches go out, three branches from one side, and three branches from the other side. Then verse 33, the three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for six branches going out from the lampstand. And for the middle shaft then, verse 34, and in the lamp, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. Then we go to verse 5, a bulb shall be under the first pair of the branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. So in the middle stem, we have bulbs or knobs. Knobs, and from them branches come out. So in the middle stem, there's a bulb or knobs or whatever, and from there, branches come out. Verse 36. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammer work of pure gold. Now they are to make seven lamps, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light in the space in front of it. So six lamps for six branches coming out, and one more for the middle stem. So seven lamps. Verse 38 through 39, its snuffers and their tray shall be of gold, pure gold, and it shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And verse 40, see that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain. Like we said before, this lampstand, it looks like a flowering tree. And it has flowers, and flowers are blooming or blossoming. And if we read chapter 27, verse 20 and 21, it says, you shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light to make a lamp burn continually. In the tent of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout their generation for the sons of Israel. So the oil for the lamp, which the sons of Israel are to bring it, is oil of beaten olives. And that oil has to be always be there so that this lamp must burn continually. Now, what does this lamp represent? Many things. First, it shows the continual presence of God. Whenever we see God coming to his people in the Old Testament, we see him in the fire and light. This lamp thus represents God. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. Psalm 27, verse 11a, the Lord is my light and my salvation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. So the light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. From Genesis 1, during the first creation, we see God saying, "Let there be light," and we see the light separating the darkness. Just like it in the new creation, Jesus comes into this sinful world, this dark world, as the light and separates the children of light from the children of darkness. The salvation of God is the new creation, and you and I have been separated from the darkness into the light. We have already seen this reality in the book of Exodus, chapter 10. Let me read to you verse 21 through 23 of Exodus 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwelling. So Israelites and the Egyptians, they were completely separated. And one side, it was all light. On the other side, it was all darkness. God separates darkness, light from the darkness. Just like the first creation, let there be light, and the light just comes in and separates darkness. In chapter 14 of Exodus, we already saw, before the crossing the Red Sea. Verse 20, so it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Again, Israelites and Egyptians, they're completely separated. One side is all light and the other side is darkness. This light, it points to Jesus Christ. But it also points to you. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. That is, this is our reality. We're sitting in the darkness as sinners, and light has come upon us. See, darkness, meaning no light, this points to the judgment of God. Isaiah chapter 13 verse 10 speaks of God's judgment this way. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. It's a symbolism. But the darkness is a symbol of God's judgment. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22 and 23 speaks the sinful state of Israel. For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children and have no understanding. They are shrewd to do evil, but to do good they do not know. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. There's so many passages that tells us this darkness is a symbol of the sinfulness, the sinful state. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 10 and 11, moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. The darkness is a symbol of the sinful state in which the sinners have fell. People are lost in the darkness. Even though they claim they see, they don't see the truth. They do not see God. They're in the darkness. Even though they will never admit that they are blind. So people who are dwelling in that darkness, the sinful state, the sinners, are described as a blind in the Old Testament. Let me read you one such verse, Isaiah 59, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like a blind man. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and mourn sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. We were just like that before the salvation that God has brought to us. We were the children of the darkness. But God promises the light, the Messiah. He promises the salvation. And we have so many passages in the Old Testament, God promising the light. But it's about Messiah. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about bringing salvation to sinners. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. See, the Messiah is the light who comes and shines upon the darkness. Isaiah 49 verse 6b, I will also make you, Messiah, a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 60 verse 1 through 3, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness upon you. Big darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. And God himself is the light of heaven. Isaiah 60, 19 and 20, no longer you will have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. See, heaven is a place in which there is no darkness because God himself is, he will shine, he is the light. So this is the point. Let's say you and I, we go into the holies, the first room. We go in And like we said, on the right side, there's a table and there's a showbread, and we already saw what that meant. But you look at left side, there's a light, there's a lampstand. And it shines continually. And you understand what the tabernacle is symbol of. And the holies and holy of holies, it's heaven. It's a micro version of heaven. We saw how the mercy seat is pointing to the throne of God. So what are you seeing as you go in? And there's no darkness in that room. Continually burning, continually shining. No darkness. You're looking at a picture of heaven. And that's exactly what the lampstand is pointing to. In that room, just like heaven, the lampstand, which points to God, it shines forever and ever. That's the picture. And that's how the heaven is. So if we're going to all go into heaven, and who is shining in there? God. And I don't know if it's going to be this kind of light. I don't think so. But it's more like, he shines his light and glory so that we may know, we may see God himself. We may know God. See, this reality, that heavenly reality, is typologically shown in the first room, the holies of the tabernacle. The lampstand must burn continually, it says. Revelation 21, verse 23 and 25. Revelation 21, it shows how heaven is. Look at this. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it. And the lamp is the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. Revelation 22, verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. See, Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 is the description of what we are seeing in the holies because of the lampstand. Typologically, that is exactly what we're seeing. But like I said, not only the lampstand points to Jesus Christ, but it also points to us. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but he also said, you are the light of the world. Because we are united to Jesus. So this lampstand actually now not only points to God, but it also points to us, the church. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with golden sash. You clearly see Jesus Christ, and he's where? He's standing among seven lampstands. But if you go Revelation chapter 1 verse 20 and you read the last part, it says, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. In Revelation 11, we see two witnesses who represent the church, and this is what is said about them. Chapter 11, verse 4, these are the two olive trees, and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. So in Zechariah, you also have this vision. Lampstand, and there behind it stands olive tree, because the oil has to flow into the lamp to burn. But you remember the oil? It was about olive oil. So the continuation of supplying that oil so that this lampstand burns continually. That's the vision. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of night or darkness." Again, John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." John 12, verse 46, "I have come as light into the world so that anyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." See, you and I, we have fellowship with the true light, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Thus, Christ and the church, we have fellowship because he is the true light and we are the light of the world in him. But the non-Christians, there is no fellowship. Why they do not want to believe? When you tell them the truth, why they say no? Well, John says this. John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already." Why? "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Why? Because first thing you have to do as you come to Jesus is what? You have to repent of your sins. You have to reveal your sins, your evilness. That's how you come to the light. And people who do not come to the light, it says that they're worried that their evilness will be revealed, their wickedness will be revealed. They do not repent. They hide. And when we talk about evil, it's not up to the worldly standard. Okay. I always say this. When you look at Buddhists, we don't say that's an evil person. But God said not to have any other gods before me. So in those terms, we are saying non-Christians are evil. But in a moral sense and in a worldly sense, they're not evil. They're sometimes better than us. I should say many times better than us. So we're talking, when we say evil, we're talking in terms of God's standard. And that's what we need to understand. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are no longer lost in the darkness. We know exactly where we're going. We're going to God. We're going to heaven. But people are in darkness. They don't see the way. They don't see God. I mean, how utterly blind they were. Think about this. When Jesus came and lived 33 years, you know, as a man here, which means that so many people, Jesus was right in front of them, talking to them. You know, these Jews and these Pharisees, they were talking to Jesus, like, you know, not that far away. And yet, they could not see him as God. They were so blind that even God was standing in front of them. They could not see him as God. That's the real blindness, not the physical blindness. See, even though you're physically blind, you could still see Jesus. Psalm 18, verse 28, "For you light my lamp, God. God lights my lamp. The Lord, my God, illumines my darkness." So all the darkness just disappear. Just like when you come into a room and flip the switch and darkness is gone. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. So that we may see everything. We may see the truth. We may see Jesus Christ. And that's what heaven is all about. In heaven, I don't have to teach you anything about Christ. You don't have to teach me anything about Christ. We'll all know the truth. We will see the truth. We will know. And that's what that holy, that first room symbolizes as that lampstand continually give out the light. That's the picture. You and I, we are the true tabernacle. We are the true temple. And the lamp is in us. And I pray that you will be able to see that, how lamp is in you. God, who is light, is living in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The lamp that we see in our text is lighted by the olive oil. And as you already know, we've been saying this so many times, the oil in the Old Testament represents the Holy Spirit. So when they're anointed with oil, what's the picture? The Holy Spirit comes to you. You are anointed. All of you are anointed because you now have Holy Spirit in you. That's the picture. But in the Old Testament, it's all typological, right? It's earthly. So they use oil to anoint you. That's the picture of Jesus, I mean the Holy Spirit, coming to you. So this light is shined by the Holy Spirit. Olive oil gives the source for that light. Holy Spirit gives us. He's the source of the light that we shine. And it's not physical light yet. Because when we resurrect to a glorified body, oh, we're going to physically shine. Yes, but not yet. But we still shine. How do we shine? Bible says, by the truth. We reveal the truth and we do these good works that God is pleased with, and we shine God's light, which is in us. You have to really believe that light is in you, shining even now. And that light wants to come out and shine through you. And that's what Christian life is all about. We shine that light as we live our lives in our own life. Holy Spirit lives in us, lives in the church, which is the lamp. And Jesus Christ is the true lampstand. And we'll see at his baptism the Holy Spirit coming to him. Just like it, we are the lampstand, and we see in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit coming to the church, we see the lighting of the lamp. You know, Christmas is coming, and every city has that big Christmas tree. And some people like to see how, you know, first time it lights. Lightning of the Christmas tree, you know, they has a name for that kind of event. Just like it. God's church. They were gathered on upper room, 120 people, God's church. The lamp. And you see the oil coming. Olive oil coming. And it lights. And ever since then, the church lights. It shines the light of God. That's the picture in Acts chapter 2. Jesus flipping the light switch. And this is your life. You have already lighted. And you are already shining. You just need to show a little bit more proof that you are actually shining. Oh yes, we don't do a good job shining this light. I know we sin. But that doesn't mean that light is not shining in you. As long as you believe in Jesus Christ, that light is shining in you. It lives in you. And you will shine. Can you just picture when we get to heaven? And when Jesus returns, when we are glorified, we're going to shine that glory, shine the light of God forever and ever. Not only Jesus is the true lampstand in heaven, but you and I, we will also shine next to Jesus Christ. This is who we are. So, in this lampstand in the holiest, the first room, I want you first to see Jesus Christ. That's a picture of Jesus. But I also want you to see that is you. That is the church shining the light of God. And what you see in that room will be what you see in heaven. But in the Old Testament, it's always typological. But same reality is our heavenly reality. And it will never, this light will never go off. Why? Because it is lighted by the Holy Spirit. Thus a lampstand in the holies must burn continually to show this reality. The church's job is to shine this light. The church's job is to act and live as the light. Acts chapter 13, verse 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Do you hear what God says? I have placed you as light. So what? So that through you, the salvation of God will come to the ends of the world. The church must shine, and it must shine Jesus Christ. He is the true light. We must shine His glory. But always remembering that this shining of His glory cannot be done without the oil, the Holy Spirit. We are the light of the world in the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. And wherever we are to witness that reality that we see in this first room of tabernacle. Shine in the darkness. So go out in the darkness and just shine. Shine the glory of God. But remember, the darkness will not like that light. They will actually hate it. But you continue to shine. Because that is our desire. We want to shine the glory of Jesus Christ. Let me end this. How did we become the light? Well, Jesus Christ. You know, when He died upon the cross for our sins, the darkness fell upon all the land. Do you remember? This points to the judgment of God. He is receiving God's judgment, so it was dark. Sun lost its light when Jesus was dying on that cross. Glimpse of what will happen at the end when Jesus returns, when true judgment, that final judgment comes, there will be no more light in this world. See, we have become the light because Jesus Christ, who is the true light, experienced the darkness of God's judgment. And His body, His dead body, entered the darkness of the tomb. That's how we became a light. But brothers and sisters, He was resurrected on the third day. The Son of Heaven has risen. And that sun will never set. He will shine forever and ever, and we are called to participate in Him being the true light. We too shine forever and ever. This is what we are, the light of the world. Let us go shine this light. Every darkness you find out there, just go there and shine. And I have to just picture you go there. And people wondering, what are you doing? Well, I'm shining. No. But you know exactly what I mean. Go. Shine the light. Do good works. And share that gospel, the truth. Brothers and sisters, let us go to the darkness and shine this light. Remember, brothers and sisters, this is what we are and who we are. We are the lampstand of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We were once children of darkness, but You have saved us out of that darkness. And You have brought us into that marvelous light, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, as Your lampstand, let us go out into the darkness and shine Your light, shine the glory of our God. Oh Father, let us remember always that we are Your lampstand. Our job is to shine the glory, shine the truth, shine Jesus Christ. Let us live for You, for Your glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.